Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 92, beginning at verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your works. Through your work, I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you've exalted like a wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Verses 1 through 15, all of Psalm 92. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the powerful Psalm, Psalm 92, and the words of thanksgiving that it shares. And thank you for the opportunity for us to live a life of thanksgiving, a life where we give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor for eternal life, for health and strength, for the opportunity to know you, to be able to serve you and to follow you. Thank you for the opportunity for us to read your word and to follow its wisdom each and every day. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Thank you, Father, for the gift of family and loved ones. And thank you for homes to live in, clothes to wear, food to eat. Father, so many blessings that you run our cups over with every single day. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Stir us more and more to live a life where a life full of thanksgiving and praise, and a life where we also express our gratitude through a life giving ourselves fully back to you. We thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We want to continue to remind you that, again, if you're not already involved in the wonderful ministry and outreach called Operation Christmas Child, we're hoping that you will get involved. We're inviting you to partner with us to send the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. Packing a shoebox results in evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication. This is a direct way for you to help equip the local church around the world. Operation Christmas Child's local ministry partners with a simple platform, a shoebox gift, to reach their own communities and establish long-term relationships. This is a National Collection Week. And for more information, go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Again, that's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more about how to get involved with Operation Christmas Child or to find a drop-off location near you. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today, we're looking specifically at the topic of Bible passages and inspirational readings on thanksgiving and praise. And so we're going to be sharing from the Word of God, as well as some inspirational readings that I believe will help encourage you to walk and live a life of thanksgiving, praise, and honor and gratitude to God for his goodness, for his grace, for his mercy. And we hope that you'll be encouraged to give yourself more so to spending time thanking and praising and worshiping the Lord as a lifestyle. Again, we're looking at, again, the topic Bible passages and inspirational readings on thanksgiving and praise. Looking now in the book of Psalms, Psalm 100, beginning at verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Then the words of Psalm 23 tell us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. End of Psalm 23. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Father, thank You, Lord, for the opportunity that You give us daily to live a life of thanksgiving, praise, glory, and honor. Father, more and more, open our eyes and our hearts to see that You're such a wonderful and blessed and good God, that You literally run our cups over in so many ways in our lives every single day. Thank You again for eternal life and health and strength. Thank You for the opportunity to be able to open Your Word and receive words of wisdom, power, and grace from You every single day. Father, thank You for the privilege of being able to guide, mold, and help to shape our children, to help them to begin to grow and grow strong and become mighty in spirit. Thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, and Your mercy, and anoint us all afresh with the spirit of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Looking in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Again, the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we're reading from God's Word, we're encouraging you during this season of the year, take extra time to read through the Word of God and find passages that encourage you in your walk with the Lord, encourage you in your faith, and encourage you in just drawing closer to the Lord and encourage you to live a life of thanksgiving, praise, glory, and honor. God runs a cup over in so many ways again every day. Hopefully it's your desire to live a life of thanksgiving and praise now. Looking specifically now in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Excuse me, Philippians chapter 4, yes, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore you, Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help those women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading Bible passages and inspirational readings on thanksgiving and praise. And now specifically looking in a neat little book entitled The Attitude of Gratitude, Developing a Thankful Heart by Nancy Lee DeMoss. So we're just going to share a short reading from the first chapter found in this book. And again, the title of the book, as I said, again, The Attitude of Gratitude, Developing a Thankful Heart by Nancy Lee DeMoss. By today's standards, she should have been an unhappy, troubled woman. Her father died when she was quite young, leaving her to be raised by her mother and grandmother. As a result of a doctor's careless error, when she was only 6 weeks old, she was afflicted with lifelong blindness. The tragic and traumatic experiences of this woman's childhood years would have given most people more than enough grounds for a lifetime of self-pity, bitterness, and psychological disorders. Yet, in her autobiography, Frances Jane Crosby wrote, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for the dispensation." The doctor who destroyed her sight never forgave himself and moved from the area. But there was no room in Fanny Crosby's heart for resentment. "If I could meet him now," she wrote, "I would say thank you, over and over again for making me blind. The blindness that many would have considered at best an accident, and at worst a curse, was considered by Fanny to be one of her greatest blessings. She accepted her blindness as a gift from God. I could not have written thousands of hymns," she said, "if I'd been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice." Fanny's first poem, written when she was only 8 years old, reflects the perspective that was hers until her death at the age of 95. We'll pick up with the rest of this reading on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at Bible passages and inspirational readings on thanksgiving and praise. We'll be right back.
The day that you have made.
Elevation Worship, a song simply entitled Grateful. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic of Bible passages and inspirational readings on thanksgiving and praise. And we read a number of scriptures and now reading a very touching and a powerful story from a book by Nancy Lee DeMoss, the book entitled The Attitude of Gratitude, Developing a Thankful Heart. And we're just going to restart the story here. By today's standards, she should have been an unhappy, troubled woman. Her father died when she was quite young, leaving her to be raised by her mother and grandmother. As a result of a doctor's careless error, when she was only 6 weeks old, she was afflicted with lifelong blindness. The tragic and traumatic experiences of this woman's childhood years would have given most people more than enough grounds for a lifetime of self-pity, bitterness, and psychological disorders. Yet in her autobiography, Frances Jane Crosby wrote, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank Him for the dispensation." The doctor who destroyed her sight never forgave himself and moved from the area, but there was no room in Fanny Crosby's heart for resentment. "If I could meet him now," she wrote, "I would say thank you over and over again for making me blind." The blindness that many would have considered at best an accident and at worst a curse was considered by Fanny to be one of her greatest blessings. She accepted her blindness as a gift from God. "I could not have written thousands of hymns," she said, "if I had been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice." Fanny's first poem, written when she was 8 years old, reflects the perspective that was hers until her death at the age of 95. "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh, because I'm blind, I cannot nor I won't." Again, a powerful poem written by Fanny Crosby when she was only 8 years old. For over a century, the church has reaped the rich benefits of one woman's thankful heart as we sing some of her hymns, including "To God Be the Glory," "Blessed Assurance," "Redeemed," "All the Way My Savior Leads Me," and many others of the 8,000 songs that Fanny Crosby wrote in her lifetime. In a world that has forgotten how to be grateful, the example of this beloved blind hymn writer seems extraordinary, if not downright odd. But oh, what a price we pay for our personal and collective ingratitude. After more than two decades of ministry to hurting people, I've come to believe that a failure to give thanks is at the heart of much, if not most, of the sense of gloom, despair, and despondency that is so pervasive even among believers today. And we will end the reading there. Again, a reading from the book entitled The Attitude of Gratitude, Developing a Thankful Heart by Nancy Lee DeMoss, a very touching story near the beginning of that little book. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, Bible passages and inspirational readings on thanksgiving and praise. The next story we're going to read is simply, it's actually both, and as we're moving towards the Christmas season, it's a powerful story in relation to both Christmas, but also thanksgiving and learning to be a grateful person. And you know, our attitude of gratitude should not only be one through which we give thanks, praise, and worship to our Heavenly Father. Certainly that's very important, and that should be a part of our life and our lifestyle. But it should also result in being a blessing back to the world. Our gratitude should be reflected in living a life of service to the Lord and being a blessing to people. Well, this story is simply entitled, A Wonderful Christmas Morning. In September 1960, I woke up one morning with six hungry babies and just 75 cents in my pocket. Their father was gone. The boys ranged from 3 months to 7 years. Their sister was two. Their dad had never been much more than a presence they feared. Whenever they heard his tires crunch on the gravel driveway, they would scramble to hide under their beds. He did manage to leave $15 a week to buy groceries. Now that he had decided to leave, there would be no more beatings, but no more food either. If there was a welfare system in effect in southern Indiana at that time, I certainly knew nothing about it. I scrubbed the kids until they looked brand new, and then put on my best homemade dress, loaded them into the rusty old 51 Chevy, and drove off to find a job. The seven of us went to every factory, store, and restaurant in our small town. No luck. The kids stayed crammed into the car and tried to be quiet while I tried to convince whoever would listen that I was willing to learn or do anything. I had to have a job. The last place we went to, just a few miles out of town, was an old root beer barrel drive-in that had been converted to a truck stop. It was called the Big Wheel. An old lady named Granny owned the place, and she peeked out of the window from time to time at all those kids. She needed someone on the graveyard shift, 11 at night until 7 in the morning. She paid 65 cents an hour, and I could start that night. I raced home and called the teenager down the street that babysat for people. I bargained with her to come and sleep on my sofa at $1 a night. She could arrive with her pajamas on and the kids would already be asleep. This seemed to be a good arrangement to her, so we made a deal. That night, when the little ones and I knelt to say our prayers, we all thanked God for finding Mommy a job, and so I started at the Big Wheel. When I got home in the mornings, I woke the babysitter up and sent her home with $1 of my tip money, fully half of what I averaged every night. As the weeks went by, heating bills added a strain to my meager wage. The tires on the old Chevy had the consistency of penny balloons and began to leak. I had to fill them with air on the way to work and again every morning before I could go home. One bleak fall morning, I dragged myself to the car to go home and found four tires in the back seat. New tires. There was no note, no nothing, just those beautiful brand new tires. Had angels taken up residence in Indiana, I wondered. I made a deal with the local service station in exchange for his mounting the new tires. I would clean up his office. I remember it took me a lot longer to scrub his floor than it did for him to do the tires. I was now working six nights instead of five, and it still wasn't enough. Christmas was coming, and I knew there would be no money for toys for the kids. I found a can of red paint and started repairing and painting some old toys, then hid them in the basement so there would be something for Santa to deliver on Christmas morning. Clothes were a worry too. I was sewing patches on top of patches on the boys' pants, and soon they would be too far gone to repair. On Christmas Eve, the usual customers were drinking coffee in the Big Wheel. There were the truckers, Les, Frank, and Jim, and a state trooper named Joe. A few musicians were hanging around after a gig at the Legion and were dropping nickels in the pinball machine. The regulars all just sat around and talked through the wee hours of the morning and then left to get home before the sun came up. When it was time for me to go home at 7 o'clock on Christmas morning, to my amazement, my old battered Chevy was filled to the full, to the top, with boxes of all shapes and sizes. I quickly opened the driver's side door, crawled inside, and kneeled in the front facing the back seat. Reaching back, I pulled off the lid of the top box. Inside was a whole case of little blue jeans, sizes 2 to 10. I looked inside another box. It was full of shirts to go with the jeans. Then I peeked inside some of the other boxes. There was candy and nuts and bananas and bags of groceries. There was an enormous ham for baking and canned vegetables and potatoes. There was pudding and jello and cookies, pie filling and flour. There was a whole bag of laundry supplies and cleaning items. And there were 5 toy trucks and 1 beautiful little doll. As I drove back through empty streets, as the sun slowly rose on the most amazing Christmas day of my life, I was sobbing with gratitude. And I will never forget the joy on the faces of my little ones that precious morning. Yes, there were angels in Indiana that long ago December, and they all hung out at the Big Wheel truck stop. Again, a touching story that's classifies as both a Christmas story and a Thanksgiving story as well, simply entitled A Wonderful Christmas Morning. Now reading a touching story we've shared before, but it's a beautiful story, again, one that reminds us of the importance of being thankful for all the blessings God gives us in His grace and His mercy and His loving kindness. This story is simply entitled, God Lives Under the Bed. I envy Kevin. My brother Kevin thinks God lives under his bed. At least that's what I heard him say one night. He was praying out loud in his dark bedroom, and I stopped to listen. Are you there, God? He said. Where are you? Oh, I see, under the bed. I giggled softly and tiptoed off to my own room. Kevin's unique perspectives are often a source of amusement, but that night, something else lingered long after the humor. I realized for the first time the very different world my brother Kevin lives in. Kevin was born 30 years ago, mentally disabled as a result of difficulties during labor. Apart from his size, Kevin is 6'2", there are few ways in which he is an adult. Kevin reasons and communicates with the capabilities of a 7-year-old, and he always will. He will probably always believe that God lives under his bed, that Santa Claus is the one who fills the space under our tree every Christmas, and that airplanes stay up in the sky because angels carry them. I remember wondering if Kevin realizes he is different. Is he ever dissatisfied with his monotonous life? Up before dawn each day, off to work at a workshop for the disabled, home to walk our Cocker Spaniel, return to eat his favorite macaroni and cheese for dinner, and later to bed. The only variation in the entire scheme is laundry, when he hovers excitedly over the washing machine like a mother with her newborn child. Kevin doesn't seem dissatisfied. He lopes out to the bus every morning at 7:05, eager for a day of simple work. He wrings his hands excitedly while the water boils on the stove for dinner and stays up late twice a week to gather our dirty laundry for his next day's laundry chores. And Saturdays, oh, the bliss of Saturdays. That's the day my dad takes Kevin to the airport to have a soft drink, watch the planes land, and speculate loudly on the destination of each passenger inside. That one's going to Chicago, Kevin shouts as he claps his hands. His anticipation is so great, he can hardly sleep on Friday nights. And so goes his world of daily rituals and weekend field trips. Kevin doesn't know what it means to be discontent. His life is simple. He will never know the entanglements of wealth or power, and he does not care what brand of clothing he wears or what kind of food he eats. His needs have always been met, and he never worries that one day they may not be. We'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic today, Bible passages and inspirational readings on Thanksgiving and praise. We'll be right back. Elevation Worship with Oh Same. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today specifically at God's Word and inspirational readings on Thanksgiving and praise. And we'll continue now a simple but a very touching story entitled God Lives Under the Bed. Kevin wrings his hands excitedly while the water boils on the stove before dinner, and he stays up late twice a week to gather our dirty laundry for his next day's laundry chores. And Saturdays, oh, the bliss of Saturdays. That's the day my dad takes Kevin to the airport to have a soft drink, watch the planes land, and speculate loudly on the destination of each passenger inside. That one's going to Chicago, Kevin shouts as he claps his hands. His anticipation is so great he can hardly sleep on Friday nights. And so goes his world of daily rituals and weekend field trips. Kevin doesn't know what it means to be discontent. His life is simple. He will never know the entanglements of wealth or power, and he does not care what brand of clothing he wears or what kind of food he eats. His needs have always been met, and he never worries that one day they may not be. His hands are diligent. Kevin is never so happy as when he is working. When he unloads the dishwasher or vacuums the carpet, his heart is completely in it. He does not shrink from a job when it is begun, and he does not leave a job until it is finished. But when his tasks are done, Kevin knows how to relax. He is not obsessed with his work or the work of others. Kevin's heart is pure. He still believes everyone tells the truth. He believes that promises must be kept, and when you're wrong, you apologize instead of argue. Free from pride and unconcerned with appearances, Kevin is not afraid to cry when he's hurt, angry, or sorry. He is always transparent, always sincere, and he trusts God. Not confined by intellectual reasoning, when he comes to Christ, he comes as a child. Kevin seems to know God, to really be friends with him in a way that is difficult for a quote-unquote educated person to grasp. God seems like his closest companion. In my moments of doubt and frustrations with my Christianity, I envy the security Kevin has in his simple faith. It is then that I am most willing to admit that he has some divine knowledge that rises above my mortal questions. It is then that I realize that perhaps he is not the one with the handicap. I am. My obligations, my fear, my pride, my circumstances, they all become disabilities when I do not trust them to God's care. Who knows if Kevin comprehends things I can never learn? After all, he has spent his whole life in that kind of innocence, praying after dark and soaking up the goodness and love of God. And one day, when the mysteries of heaven are opened and we are all amazed at how close God really is to our hearts, I'll realize that God heard the simple prayers of a boy who believed that God lived under his bed. Kevin won't be surprised at all. Father, thank you again for this touching and powerful story and a reminder that you call us all to look to you as our Heavenly Father and to approach you and follow you as a little child. Help us, Lord, to learn to give you thanks and praise for the big things, the little things, and all the in-between things, realizing, Lord, that literally every day of our lives, you really do run our cups over in so many ways. Thank you again for the privilege of knowing that you've pulled us off the road on the way to hell, onto the road on the way to heaven, and that eternity with you will be our destiny. And we thank you and praise you for the wonderful gift of eternal life. Thank you for the ability to see, to feel, to think, to touch, to taste, to smell. So many other blessings that are ours, Lord, help us to never take them for granted, but help us to always live with an attitude of gratitude, recognizing that you're a good God, you're a great God, you're a mighty God that loves us with an everlasting love. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Looking now specifically in the Word of God, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 144, beginning at verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man, that you are mindful of him. Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. The one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Then skipping now to Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, your great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. That was all of Psalm 148. And as usual, before we end our broadcast, if you're listening and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to invite you to make that all-important step today. The most important decision in all of life is the decision to give your heart to Jesus Christ. If you'd like to make that step and invite him to come into your heart and take over your life, we invite you to simply pray this prayer with us. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the wrongs I've done. And Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and received Christ, please get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And we'd like to send you some resources and spiritual growth literature that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Or if you're wanting any of the prayer tools or discipleship tools that we provide, we're encouraging you. Please email us and ask for some of the prayer tools or the discipleship resources. We're glad to share them with you. Our encouragement to you is that you'll take and use them for yourself. Use them in the discipleship of your family. Use them amongst your whole family. But also, please forward them, email them to fellow church members, extended family members, coworkers, anyone you're led to share them with, please share them far and wide, because that's what they're for, to help people to come to know the Lord and help people to begin to grow and grow strong, to become vibrant, strong believers following the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Just a reminder to our listeners too, I want to once again encourage every single parent listening with young children. If you're not having your children to read the Word of God out loud to you already, if your child can read, please start right away. Remember this, nothing will bless your child like the powerful Word of God. There's grace, peace, light, joy, and power in the Word of God. And when your child is reading the Word of God out loud to you, it'll bless him or her in ways you and I don't fully comprehend. Now keep in mind, I'm encouraging you to have the child read to you. And the reason why that's important is because certainly the parent could read to the child. But it's not hard many times for children to just kind of check out, to daydream, to doze off while dad or mom is reading. When they're reading, they're fully engaged with the Word of God themselves. So having them to read to you, dad or mom, is just a wise way to help them engage the precious and powerful Word. I would encourage you to start the habit of having them read 3 chapters in the Bible out loud to you today. Today is a good day to get started with that very fruitful and blessed habit in the discipleship of your children. We've been looking today at the topic, Bible passages and inspirational readings on Thanksgiving and praise. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.